Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow servants of our Lord and Savior, a couple of years ago there was a commercial for Dr. Pepper that featured a young couple. In the background of this commercial there was a song that said, "I would do anything for love." And so in this commercial, it showed the man doing embarrassing things for his girl that he loved, such as holding on to her purse and multiple dresses while she was shopping. But then the commercial showed them sitting on a couch and he was drinking his Dr. Pepper, and she reached over and grabbed it and started to drink it. And that's when the song said, "I would do anything for love, but not for that." The man grabbed the soda, stood up from the couch, and he ran outside the home to drink his Dr. Pepper. Now, of course, this is just a funny commercial saying you should do anything for love, but not to give up your Dr. Pepper. But today, we're focusing on something that's serious and not funny. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." He doesn't say you will obey some of my commands. He doesn't say you will obey the commands that you like. Jesus says you will obey all of my commands if you love me. And is that what we do? Well, as we take a look at this story of Cain, we will notice that he was not willing to do anything for God because he did not love him. But we can learn from Cain. We can learn from his mistakes so that we would do anything for the Lord, even including that. The story begins by saying Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, God punished them and disciplined them. He told them there would be consequences for their sin, and he drove them out of the Garden of Eden. But he promised that a Savior would come from Adam and Eve's descendants. That's one reason that she is so happy that she has given birth to Cain, and says, "With the help of the Lord, I have given birth to a man." But it's also possible, when you look at the Hebrew, then maybe she thought she actually gave birth to the Lord himself, that she gave birth to the promised Savior. But how quickly Adam and Eve must have been disappointed when they realized that Cain was just as sinful as they were, especially when you look at his interactions with Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Both Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord, but only the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Why? It wasn't because Abel brought animals, whereas Cain brought things from his crops. It wasn't even because Abel brought the best of his animals for an offering to the Lord. The reason the Lord accepted Abel's offering is because Scripture tells us, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. God accepted Abel's offering because Abel offered that sacrifice out of faith and love for God. Whereas Cain, who was willing to do anything for God here, would not do it out of faith and love. Do we see ourselves as Cain here? God has given us commands to follow, but do we always do them out of faith and love? God says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, to set apart some time to worship Him. And we may do that, but we don't rejoice in it. And so, just like the Pharisees, Jesus could say, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. God says we are to speak up and defend those who can't do it for themselves. And we may do that, but it's not done out of love. It's only done so that that person that we help to defend can do good things for us in return. And you can go on and on looking at all the commands that God has given us, and yet we don't do it out of faith and love. Not including that, just like Cain did. And since Cain did not offer up his sacrifice out of faith and love, God didn't accept his sacrifice. And therefore, he became very angry and jealous with his brother. God noticed that. He approached Cain and he said, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. God was willing to do anything for Cain, even including warning him about the sin in his heart. God said, you must master it. It is crouching at your door, and it desires to control you. But did Cain listen to the Lord? Did he master his sin? Unfortunately, no. One day he said to his brother, let's go out to the field. And while no one was looking, he struck his brother down and killed him. Cain murdered his own brother because of his hatred, because he did not master his sin. Do we see ourselves as Cain here? What sins do we have lurking in our heart that God warns us that we must master and we need to let it go, otherwise it can control us? Maybe it is the sin of anger. That you hate someone. And you may think that you wouldn't do what Cain did, but you don't know. You have no idea if that sin will control you, and when the opportunity is there, you may murder someone. Or maybe you won't murder that person, but maybe you will murder their reputation. That you spread lies and gossip about that person so that others will hate that person. And you don't even know if someone else would be willing to murder that person because of their hatred, since you spread those lies about that person. Maybe it's the sin of lust in your heart. God tells you you must master it, but you don't. And so you can become addicted to looking at things you shouldn't. You may have sex before you're married, or you may cheat on your spouse. And even when you feel guilty for doing it the first time, you may do it again and again. And you rationalize it by still saying, I love my spouse, but I just cheat to satisfy my needs. Or maybe it's the sin of greed in your heart. Just because you desire to become richer, you start stealing some money or some small objects from people when no one is looking. But then you rationalize and you think it's not that bad. And so you steal more and more, and it can even lead to robbery. And even Scripture says many people have pierced themselves with grief simply trying to get richer. And so just like Cain, we may do anything for God, but not including mastering that sin and letting it go. And since Cain did not master his sin, he murdered his brother. And God approached Cain and he said, where is your brother? Why does God ask Cain that question? God knows full well what has happened. The very fact that Abel died, He was already in heaven with God. So why does God ask Cain this question? He does it to give him a chance to confess his sin and to repent. But what does Cain do? He says to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" To which God responds, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." God was punishing Cain for what he had done. He was disciplining him. And yet what does Cain do? He complains. He says to God, "This is too much for me to bear. And if anyone finds me, they will put me to death." Cain is so stubborn that he still refuses to repent of his sin. Do we see ourselves as Cain here? You know, we may try our best to hide our sins, and people may not even know the sins that we can commit, but God knows. You cannot hide that from him. And the very fact that God knows what we do is reason enough to repent of our sins, and yet we can be so stubborn and refuse to swallow our pride to confess our guilt to God. Even when we are caught red-handed in our sin, we can try lying through our teeth, shifting the blame on others, or pleading that we were ignorant of what we were doing. And even when God disciplines us because of our sins, we may still refuse to repent. And so, like Cain, we could be willing to do anything for God, but not including that repentance. So now let me ask you, if you were God, what would you do to Cain? He hasn't obeyed you out of faith and love. He did not master his sin, and he refuses to repent. I think if we were God, we would put Cain to death, or at least allow other people to murder him, since he himself was a murderer. But God doesn't. Instead, he puts a mark on Cain so that no one will take vengeance on him. Why does he do that? It's because of his great love for Cain. He did not want Cain's time of grace to come to an end. He wanted Cain to come to faith and to believe in God and repent of his sin. Unfortunately, we never hear of Cain doing that. But now what about for us? If you were God, what would you do to every single one of us? The times that we don't obey God's commands out of faith and love, those times that we don't master our sin, those times that we are so stubborn and refuse to repent, I think if we were God, we would put every single one of us to death as well. But he doesn't. And why? Because of his great love for us. We know how great that love is because John told us Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus died for you and for me. He was murdered for murderers. He was condemned to death even for those who would never believe in him. He was made guilty of sin even when we don't always confess of that sin. Jesus lovingly died for us even when we don't lovingly live for him. That's how great Jesus' love is for us. From all eternity, when God had this plan of salvation, Jesus said to his Father, "Yes, Lord, I will do anything for them, even including that death on a cross." And his great love for us doesn't end there. He graciously and freely gives us his love and his forgiveness. At our baptism, we didn't receive the mark of Cain, but we received the sign of the cross on the head and on the heart, to mark us as redeemed children of Christ. And God promised that he would never remove that mark from us, even when we don't always repent, even when we don't always obey Him out of faith and love, even when we don't always master our sin. And even though God has every right to remove the Holy Spirit from us, whom He has graciously given, He doesn't. Instead, He uses the Holy Spirit to create a willing spirit within us, to sustain us, to make us willing to obey Him. And so knowing that great love that God has for us, doesn't that change how we obey God? When Jesus says, "These are my commands that I want you to follow," knowing His great love for us, we say, "Yes, Lord, I will gladly do these things out of love for you." When God warns us about our sin and tells us that we must master it, knowing His great love for us, we say, "Yes, Lord, I will master it. I will let it go, because I don't want that sin to control my life and take me away from you." Or when we do fall into sin, when we don't master it, God comes to us, He confronts our sin. And knowing His great love for us, we say, "Lord, I deserve to be punished. But because of Christ, I come forward and say, have mercy on me, a sinner." And God says, "I forgive you." That's the great love that God has for us. And so knowing that great love, let us be willing to do anything for God, even including all that He commands. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.